Bolin. I write the Coaching Carousel column at the National Football Post. And today we're talking about something very new for us. We're talking about potential candidates for that coaching carousel. And one of the first jobs, probably the highest profile job that may be in jeopardy nationally, is that of Notre Dame. And I think everybody right now can figure out some reasons why, either way, Charlie White should or should not come back. And today I'm joined by Wes Bunting, our scouting expert and guru, to talk a little bit about, and to get under this issue a little bit more than normal, to talk a little bit about what Charlie Weiss has done, evaluate his tenure, and see whether whether it's merited that he go, or whether it's appropriate for Notre Dame to think about keeping him, and then finally maybe talk about who might be on the horizon to replace him and some of the problems in doing that. So, Wes, let me jump in with you. How's Notre Dame's talent?
Well, when you look a talented squad, especially when you look at the offensive side of the ball, I mean, Jimmy Clausen grabs a ton of headlines, Floyd and Tate at receiver. They have a really talented offensive line as well. Sam Young's had some struggles, but I really like Eric Olson, the center. The team that really, what stands out to me, though, is the defense. When you look back at their recruiting that they've done, I mean, they don't have one guy on the defense that is under a three-star recruit. So there's a ton of talent on the defense as well. However, these guys just haven't played up to their abilities. They haven't been real physical. They haven't showed the ability to get after the passer. Ian Williams, the defensive tackle, has been a real letdown to me. I don't think he's played well at all this season. Brian Smith's probably the most seasoned guy on the team, but when you watch the tape alone, it's the freshman, Monte Teo, who's been the most consistent player, the one that stood out the most to me these last couple weeks, and the kid's only a freshman. So I have to question, especially the defensive side of the ball. Sure, they're getting some recruits in, but the coaching that they're doing and their ability to get these guys to play up their potential has not been where it's at so far.
So let me ask you this question. We've watched all their games. We've seen the tape. There seem to be two major issues that Notre Dame seems to lack. Offensively, they play with no sense of urgency. In watching most of the early games, they seem two touchdowns better offensively than most of their opponents, yet almost every game came down to the last second. On defense, they seem to lack some talent. Is that what your assessment is?
Well, they're not real physical up front. They're not overly athletic in the secondary. Their corners can't play on an island. So I'd say in the back end, I don't think they're very talented. Sure, you have some guys, the McCarthy brothers and things like that, who can make some plays, but their corners really struggle to hold up, and they don't have that guy in their front seven that can be that game changer, that can consistently cause pressure. And then when you fail to consistently stop the run, whether it's against the scheme of a Navy or the power straight ahead of a USC, things like that, you're going to struggle defensively. So I think they need to be more physical up front, whether that's committing more guys to the line of scrimmage, whether that's bringing in bigger, more physical recruits, you know, reevaluating what kind of recruits they're bringing in on their defensive line. But from a defensive standpoint alone, lack of talent in the back end and a lack of physicality up front.
That's a really great point, because I think when we look at college recruiting in particular, every college has a certain thing that they can be. And I think every school sort of now looks and says, well, I can be like USC. I'll bring in the best recruits in the country. And obviously Notre Dame has some limitations when you're thinking about doing that, Wes, don't they?
Yeah, they absolutely do. They have, you know, they're in that Stanford kind of realm where they have that high standard of academic ability as well. So they want to bring in some smart kids that they know that can pass and do well in the classroom, as well as talented athletic kids on the field. However, you look, some of these guys just don't have the physical intangibles and measurables and needed to stack up consistently against the top level talent that they face week in and week out.
That's a perfect question right now. And one of the interesting things is Notre Dame offensively looks like they've built their program the right way. They can't bring in young talent, particularly that's going to be starring, although they have two plus wide receivers in Golden Tate and Michael Floyd. They have a plus quarterback who took a couple years to develop, didn't really start that way necessarily. They probably have three or four plus offensive linemen, with the two tackles being quite as good as the inside three. But it's really interesting. A school like Stanford, a school like Notre Dame, a school like Virginia, maybe a common parallel, they almost need to build in a unique way. They almost need to be quarterback, offensive line dominant schools. And the one thing 85 Scholarships has done over the years is it says that offensive linemen need to be limited in number because they can't play a lot of other places. But it's a real interesting question because looking at Notre Dame's defensive line, they're not real physical. Wouldn't they maybe be better to take some of those offensive linemen and think about playing them on that side of the ball at the nose or at the DT position?
Yeah, I think the evaluation process when these guys get in at freshmen, I mean, it's not a 1 or 2 year process. They have to be looking at this as a 4 year process. Where can this guy help me the most for 4 years? And sure, you're not going to consistently get a guy that's going to come in and play 4 years on the O-line, but maybe this guy could develop as some depth on the defensive line. Maybe he's a bigger body that can play with leverage, that can help you stuff the run for two downs. And you're not killing his chances on the offensive line right away just by giving him a shot on the D-line to help you out. But you have to look at this as a more broader picture. They're limited up front. You can only play 5 offensive linemen at a time. Defensive linemen, we see them rotate consistently. The NFL, you need 8 good defensive linemen to consistently rotate in and out. So with the restrictions that they have and the talent that they have offensively, you think maybe they take a bigger look at the pitcher, say, well, maybe this guy would be better off to benefit us more playing on the defensive side. That's a great point, Bob.
Well, and that actually may go to a bigger imbalance. Is Charlie Weiss, who's completely offensive-minded, is this year again calling the plays, and that seems to be one of the other criticisms, is that he seems so involved in every offensive play, overmatching his opposition, unlike in what you need to do in the pros to a degree where the talent's equal. Is he shorting the defense?
That's a good point. You look at the offense, and they have been efficient this year. I mean, they're putting up over 30 points per game. Jimmy Clausen's been one of the most effective quarterbacks in the country. The guy's consistently taken positive steps year in and year out. And maybe, you know, Charlie gets this 5-star guy, this Jimmy Clausen, and he wants to give him every chance to be successful. Maybe that was his look, and he's not only trying to build for Jimmy Clausen, but prove that he can show future high school quarterbacks that, look, we're going to give you the talent, we're going to give you the offensive line, and that might be a way for him to consistently pick up high-level 5-star quarterbacks. So you want him to, it's kind of like Steve Spurrier. The guy, he can put up 40 points and lose and be happier than putting up 10 points and winning. So maybe Charlie Weiss has that same kind of idea, but it hasn't worked so far.
That may be very true. Let's kind of turn a little bit to talk a little bit about what we think of Weiss generally. A head coach at Notre Dame is expected to win, clearly. And I think everybody is clear that maybe Notre Dame alumni and Notre Dame fans aren't fully realistic about the challenges the school faces in its position. But they do fight to maintain one really important thing, which is their TV contract, which means they need to play meaningful games on television. And clearly, if you're going to go 6-5 or 7-6 or some combination of that in a good year with talent, that's not going to be enough. Can we lay the blame all at Weiss, or are there some other issues here?
Well, you look when he first came in, and that team that lost to Ohio State in 2005 and the team that got blown out to LSU in 2006, both 9-3, 10-3 teams, the talent level they had offensively was very similar to what they have now, and the talent level they had defensively is very similar to what they had now. And we saw that Weiss, he's been trying to rebuild these last couple years, 3-9 and 7-6 in 07 and 08. First off, no Notre Dame squad should be 3-9 in a year. And you see he had 15 losses in that 2-year span. That's the most ever by a Notre Dame head coach. So that's definitely a worry to me. And they need to play meaningful games. Sure, their schedule, it's a bit bumped up with some of the Pac-10. They play USC. They'll play the Washington State. But he needs to be more effective winning games. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Look yourself in the mirror. And I think the motivation standpoint, Charlie Weiss isn't that real rah-rah type of guys. And we look at the passion of a guy like Pete Carroll, Steve Sarkisian. Guys want to play for them. And my biggest question right now is Charlie Weiss's, does Notre Dame players want to play for him?
And that's a great point. Because is he really running too much of a pro scheme, pro system, pro offense, pro everything for a bunch of college guys?
Yeah, you'd know more about the hours that go in to the college game than I would, but there's a limited amount of time. Every quarterback, you know, Jimmy Clausen still has to take demanding classes at Notre Dame. Floyd and Tate both have to take demanding classes at Notre Dame. They don't have the time to consistently put in the effort that a guy in the NFL would be able to. That's his full-time job. And we saw one of my favorite examples is Mark Trestman at NC State, one of the most brilliant offensive coordinators in the NFL, took the Raiders to the Super Bowl. He goes to NC State, tries to bring his West Coast offense there, and the kids just simply can't handle the workload and all the detail that goes into it. Now he's lighting it up in the CFL, and I think there's some schemes that are just more based for a program than the college game, and I think Charlie Weiss has one of them.
I think you're exactly right. I think there are times when motivation and talent in the right scheme is more important than finding the exact perfect player, the exactly perfect scheme, and Weiss seemingly isn't doing that. One of the problems Weiss inherited was the fact that the class that he really took over from had virtually no recruits in the senior class and junior class when he finally got to be his kids. When the Brady Quinn graduated, the first class of his kids were really lost to him because he took over late in the year for Ty Willingham, who was fired. He didn't get a good recruiting class out the door. His second class, which includes Jimmy Clausen, was a pretty good one. But interestingly enough, he didn't have a good start. And to a degree, Ty Willingham was undone by the same thing. He took over after George O'Leary was unceremoniously dumped after Bob Baby was fired. Does a gap in recruiting mean that much to Notre Dame because they're so dependent on juniors and seniors?
I think so, and it's not that they're getting the most ideal, sure, five-star guys wherever they go, but one of my favorite points I've ever heard is from Ed Orgeron, the former Ole Miss head coach, now with Lane Kiffin at Tennessee. But he talked about recruiting 3-4-star guys down south and the difference of level and talent and athleticism that they have. And for once, they went up to Pittsburgh and tried to recruit a 5-star guy up there. They ended up getting him, bringing him to camp, and he couldn't run and wasn't nearly as athletic as some of the 2- and 3-star guys they brought in from the south. And he made a vow that said, you know, no planes fly north from anymore. We're not going up north to bring in prospects. And I think that's the same type of thing that Notre Dame faces. They're limited to only bringing in the prospects up north. They don't have the ability to consistently go down south and bring in those big, high-level type of athletes. And I think we're seeing a lot of these bigger power schools up north, Rich Rodriguez included, that needs these athletes in his program, that they struggle to go down south and get these guys, and they're kind of left with these second-rate type of prospects up north.
Well, that seems to make sense. When you think about it, if Notre Dame is going to go to the south, go to Florida, go to Louisiana, or go into even to Southern California looking for a high-level kid, they're not always going to really have the first shot at the best kid compared to an Alabama, Florida, or even a USC.
Yeah, absolutely. And the name's running thin right now at Notre Dame, and there's more intriguing places, more places that these kids want to go, and especially when you see the tight rein that Charlie Weiss has on some of the offensive kids that he brings in. I mean, they see that they can run the spread offense, and they can go to Florida, and they can run all over the place in space, and they see this kind of regimented NFL scheme at Notre Dame where, well, we might not put up as great as stats. We might not run the ball as effectively at Notre Dame as we would at a place like Florida. There's more glitz and glamour to a place like Florida than there is to Notre Dame, and I think that has a huge effect on the recruiting there.
It certainly does. It certainly changes who's going to go to Notre Dame, and obviously the appeal to the kids who are going to go to Notre Dame, the best kids here he's going to normally have a chance at getting are going to be offensive linemen traditionally and going to be quarterbacks probably.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. It shows up. I mean, he has a talented offensive line. Jimmy Clausen, a 5-star guy. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball, especially the defensive linemen, where you can get these really intriguing athletes that can really take your team to the next level, and he simply doesn't have it.
Yeah, it seems to me he almost would be better off at some point with having a couple of his extra offensive linemen come across the ball and just take up space and maybe play more of a catch scheme almost. Because it seems only the Manti kid is really a high-level defensive player.
Yeah, and he was the only one that you look at, especially when I go back, and I'm not a big guy on the recruits. I don't know a ton about this, but when you look at the rivals and the scouts rankings, I mean, Manti, he was the only kid that USC was also chasing, that Florida was also chasing, that had some of these elite upper echelon schools chasing him. Some of the other ones, I mean, you look at Ian Williams, I think I saw NC State, Virginia. They were the teams chasing him. There was no Florida, there was no Alabama, there was no LSU chasing him, so definitely a restriction there for Notre Dame.
That's certainly a really great point. So let's size up Charlie Weiss's career at Notre Dame. Probably comes down to what happens at least one round this Saturday against Pittsburgh. How does the talent stack up?
Well, Pittsburgh, another disciplined team, very, very talented. They have a powerful offensive line. They have one of the most impressive freshman running backs in the nation who, if he wasn't a freshman, Deion Lewis, I believe his name is right now. I don't have it offhand, but one of the most impressive guys would be a front runner for the Heisman this year if he wasn't a freshman. And I love what Dave Wonstedts did. He has a talented kid at defensive end, Greg Ramirez, who can consistently pressure the passer. Charlie Weiss is going to need to protect the passer. He's going to need to chip double team outside. And if I do have one complaint with his offense, Weiss loves to consistently get 4-5 guys into the pass routes, doesn't like to keep his fullback and tight end in the block, and consistently allows their front five to go one-on-one. And we saw last week, even an underskilled, under-talented Navy defensive line was able to generate pressure when Notre Dame only kept 5 in. So I think it's going to be a really tough test, and I definitely give the advantage to Pitt right now.
Does Clawson have a knock on the elusiveness category, or does he do a pretty good job there?
You know, he's getting a better feel in the pocket. When I watched him as a sophomore, my biggest knock on him is he had a tendency to drift, kept moving backwards, was scared of the rush. I think he's doing a better job stepping up in the pocket, stepping up into throws, and his game has improved tenfold from last year, in my opinion. I think he's in an offense, like we've said, that's NFL savvy, NFL ready, and he's one of my favorite quarterbacks in the nation. I don't want to like the kid. For some reason, he's not a kind of quarterback that I want to like, but he consistently impresses me week out with his ability to anticipate throws, go through his progressions, and be accurate with the football.
That's a great point. One of the interesting questions now would be, when you're a Notre Dame and you're thinking about buying out of Charlie Weiss, and that he has no buyout clause in his contract, Notre Dame would be on the hook for the remaining 5 years at the base level of his contract. And he has one of the best agents in the business, Bob Lamont, representing him. So that would probably preclude another Lamont client like Gruden from maybe coming in, or at least coming in without an enormous contract, an enormous protection. The interesting question you have in this one is, are there coaches who don't fit Notre Dame, or are there coaches who are? And everybody's quick to jump on Brian Kelly simply because he's an Irish last name. But let's size up some of the other coaches who fit their scheme, and some who don't, who might be available this year. Because not everybody does. I mean, everybody wants Urban Meyer to come to Notre Dame, but does that kind of spread work with that kind of recruiting?
Well, the thing when I look at the coaches, I think there's scheme coaches like a Brian Kelly. There's these rah-rah type of coaches, motivators that are going to put guys around them that are going to help, like an Ed Orgeron, Jim Levitt kind of guy. But I think what Notre Dame needs is what they haven't had in the past, is the guy that can motivate and also be a guy that can be successful with his scheme. So we're looking for a guy that does both fold. And I think John Gruden would be an ideal kind of guy for that. The biggest knock with Gruden is, and same with Charlie Weiss, is there enough hours in the day for him to bring his scheme to a college level and for these kids to learn his offense inside and out at the way he wants to. Gruden's known for waking up at 3 in the morning, being at the office at 4 and work until 11 at night. You can't do that in college football because the kids simply don't have the time. So I'm thinking Notre Dame has to look more at some college caliber coaches, guys like Jim Harbaugh at Stanford, defensive coordinator for Virginia Tech, Bud Foster, guys like that I think would be more attractive to a Notre Dame right now to bring an instant success to that program.
So let me ask you about Kelly, because he's on the top of a lot of people's lists. Do you think he's a good fit?
No, I really don't, because what he's going to do, he's going to bring a talented offensive scheme to Notre Dame, which they already have, and he doesn't strike me as a guy that's a real motivator. He's had success wherever he goes, but he's never taken over that major program. Central Michigan, Cincinnati, great programs, but I just don't think he would be that great of a fit. I think they need a guy, especially with, we've talked about the strangleholds of recruits that they've had and some of the struggles, they need a motivator in there, and I just don't see him being that motivator, the kind of guy that kids consistently would want to play for.
It seems to me, too, and this is an interesting one because it'll be a hard pill for Notre Dame to swallow, that Harbaugh might be one of the better fits out there.
Yeah, I think he would be the absolutely ideal fit. I think Michigan would be crazy to not come knocking instantly for this guy. Been successful wherever he's been. He has an NFL pedigree, coached quarterbacks for the Raiders, and then went to San Diego and now at Stanford doing a great job there. The guy can motivate his players. He's shown the ability to take an untalented squad like a Stanford University, not only grow the program, but have some big signature wins with an under-talented squad when they beat USC a couple years ago. I think he would be an ideal fit. And another name I ask you about is, what about Skip Holtz from ECU? Would that be an intriguing fit for Notre Dame? That's
a very intriguing fit. Again, Skip Holtz purposely didn't pursue the Syracuse job last year with the idea the Notre Dame job would come open. He has not reached that same level of profile at East Carolina this year they did the year before, but certainly there's a pedigree there. Notre Dame's biggest problem, and I think we're almost out of time, Wes, but Notre Dame's biggest problem, I think, as we move forward, isn't so much the desire to replace Charlie Weiss, but how limiting the ability would be if they ultimately do buy him out this year with the possibility of a talented squad coming back again next year. To buy him out this year, the cost of what that would do and how that would affect the possible options. Obviously, if he loses to Pittsburgh and to Stanford and to Connecticut to finish the year, clearly he's cast his own fate. But if he manages to hang on and win a couple of these, maybe he can hang on, and maybe the other fact that the external candidates aren't quite as popular or obvious may save him. I want to thank Wes Bunning for joining me again. Wes is our guru at the National Football Post on all things talent. He is got a brilliant way of looking at talent and a brilliant way of thinking about it. I'm Bob Bolin. I write the Coaching Carousel column. I'm a professor of sports law at NYU, and I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you'll look at our columns on the on National Football Post, and I hope you'll look at this as the first of a series on the best and brightest of college football and as teams look to change their head coach and make new decisions. I'm Bob Bolin, and thank you for joining us.